Hi, everybody. Happy Pentecost. Yeah. I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for asking me to teach today. This is a big deal. It's a big deal to be with you guys. I'm not going to share anything fancy. I don't do a whole lot of definitions of Greek terms and all that stuff. I honestly, I'm going to be really honest. I tried and it didn't work out. So something that my sister texted me today was, I'm praying for you. Don't be nervous. Look for Amanda. And remember, we're family. And we're just going to, it's a family reunion, and we're just going to read our Father's will together. Nothing fancy, but really cool stuff. And what's really cool about today and about what all of this means to us and what this means to God, you know, Dean mentioned that I'm a faithful believer. A lot of people here today were at my first fellowship. And I'm very, very, like, honored to even say that. Dean also was the first person who gave me a copy of Receiving the Holy Spirit. He didn't give it to me. He lent it to me. Because at that time, those books weren't available to purchase. Like, we didn't have a bookstore like we have today. So those books were very precious to the believers that had it. My first fellowship coordinator is here today. Then the person who led me into tongues is here today. So this is really awesome. And how about those manifestations? Yeah, right? It's amazing. The end of the Christ administration. So Pentecost was the end of the Christ administration, but the beginning of the administration of grace. It was the end of the relationship of God and man, where man was servant, and the beginning of grace and sonship started. It began. On the day of Pentecost was the beginning of God's heart dream for mankind since Genesis 3:15. God could have populated this earth with perfect believers if he wanted to. He could have, I mean, he could do anything. But God is love, and all things are designed to exemplify God's love and goodness in our lives. Acts chapter 2. I'm very thankful to be considered a faithful believer, but I can honestly say that I wouldn't be the faithful believer that I am today if it wasn't for the faithful believers who stuck by me, who believed in me and cared for me and taught me the word and just let me make mistakes and just kept believing in me. Acts chapter 2. So the day of Pentecost, and we're just going to read And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them that speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all of these from Jersey City? Right? Aren't these from aren't these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, that word doubt, were perplexed, saying one to another, what? What meat is this? Like, what is this? And I was thinking about this, and I was like, why were they so perplexed? Well, first and foremost, they got to hear the wonderful works of God in their own language by Galileans. But what was before them was the most imperfect, unlikely, probably what they would consider unqualified people to do such a thing. 5 cents knowledge-wise, they shouldn't have, or they didn't have the capacity, or they weren't the likely ones to be able to do this. But yet they were perfect for God's plan and for God's display of his love and his care and his power. We were perfect. We are perfect for that. And they were perfect for that then. They were Galileans. And they were like, okay, whatever. In front of them were standing a group of Galileans speaking the wonderful works of God. And in the eyes of man, they viewed it probably as the most unfit, unlikely, imperfect, and unqualified people to do so. But in God's eyes, they were perfect because it was about the greatness of God in spite of the imperfections of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God didn't call perfect people. God called people who were going to believe. God called people that were going to accept his goodness, his grace, his care for us. He wanted people that were going to accept Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, as our risen Lord and Savior. He didn't call, and he wasn't looking for perfect people. He was looking for you. He was looking for me. And that was the opening. That was the big, that's the standard. That's what opened on the day of Pentecost. A new administration where we didn't have to work. We didn't have to be perfect. We just believed. There was nothing we can do or not do to earn all that was given to us on the day of Pentecost, the fullness of what God made available. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. This is really cool because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. And I love that. You see it. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, right? Like how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, or mobile. Noble. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. This is what we were given. This is what God made unto us, right? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So even if God was weak, and even if God was foolish, even if that was the case, right? That's a figure of speech. It would still be better than us on our best day, with all of our great believing and hairstyles and outfits, right? It's still better than what we could come up with. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not there, but I will get there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." We were dead in sins. How much can a dead person do? Thank you. All right. I like that. Nothing. That's what he said, right? So that they can't really do much. "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." And we heard it in manifestations. There's a day coming, and you know what it is. Man, you know, like, how awesome is that? That's what this is talking about, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation didn't come with bragging rights. Salvation came with sonship rights. There's a difference. We claim what God says we have and who we are. We don't boast about how great and how smart and how many verses we know and how many teachings we listen to or any of that. We don't get bragging rights. We get sonship rights. Okay? So now that I'm done yelling at everybody, no, I'm just kidding. Verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." When God sees us, we heard that in manifest. I mean, it took everything for me not to cry during manifestations, because it's everything that his word says, and he declares it, and he declared it in manifestations. He doesn't look at us the way we look at us, or the way we look at each other at times. He sees the Christ in us. He sees a masterpiece that is real, that is true about you and about me. It's not about, you know, I got prayed for like a million times this morning, and I'm so thankful. But it's just... it's awesome, because our flesh is weak. We've, I don't have to explain it. We know what the flesh is capable of doing and not doing. And and when he sees us, he sees a work of art. He sees a masterpiece. He sees what he created in Christ in you. Acts chapter 9. We're going to take another quick look at a very unlikely candidate for being born again or having Holy Spirit or being counted anything for God, the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9. In his own mind, by the five senses, he had all the perfect credentials. He had the education. He had the prestige. He was a Roman citizen. I mean, whatever that means, right? He had it all. But it says in God's word that he counted all of that dung, poop, in case you guys didn't, you know, just keep you guys involved. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter." I never noticed the word slaughter in this verse before. I just did it. I don't know why. Sometimes we've been told this. Sometimes we read the word too fast. I never saw the word slaughter in there. I went to Rome. This is kind of a little off story. I went to Rome, and we were on a bus tour, and they were like, "Do you want to get out and take a picture in front of the Colosseum?" And I was like, "Hell no." Two, you know, like I was like, absolutely not. And I was like, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not a place that I want to be like, hey, in Rome. No, that's not what I do. It's still standing. And guess what? I'm standing. So thank you. The Amen choir over there. So yeah. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. This was pretty significant for it to be Jesus, right? Pretty significant. Jesus, whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go. And how many times in our lives it's about getting up and going. Same for Paul. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. They heard it too, but they didn't see anybody. Whoa. And there were no dispensaries back then. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. How humble. Sounds good, right? I'm here, Lord. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, Arise and go. Sometimes the arise and go could be a fun one, and sometimes not so much. It's still an arise and go. So this is another arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. The great response comes up next. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. I get it. Sometimes, yeah, we do need to check in. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do something that we're like, are you sure, God? And that's pretty much what happens here. He was like, well, I heard about a lot of things. And you know what he brings before God? This guy's past, his reputation of who he was before God called him. God already called him. God already took care of him. Now he's bringing this up to God. And what's really cool about this whole thing, how God responds, Paul's past, his reputation, what he did was not even up for conversation. It wasn't anything to be discussed because it was already handled. God is that big. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a what? Chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Yeah, so he was called, and God called a believer to go heal him, go get him, go, you know, take care of him, because he was a chosen vessel unto God. And this believer brings up the reputation. And I know when we read it, we're like, Ananias, right? But what about if your worst enemy, God taps you on the shoulder and says, go to that person. Go get your brother. Go get your sister. Would you go? Or are you just going to hold the whatever they did wrong, or how they wronged you, or how they wronged others, and how their new stinky reputation or whatever, is that going to stop you from doing God's word? It shouldn't. It didn't stop Ananias. He had a little hiccup. It's all right. Hiccups are okay. But he went. We need to get ready in our hearts and stay ready in our hearts to go. Arise and go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. A great example, you know, just in my own personal life, and it's not to, like, you know, harp on my life, but a lot of people in my first fellowship showed up and did go get me. They did. They went to bars. They went to projects. They went to parties. They went to my house. It's probably worse than all of those places, right? And they went. They arose and they went and they showed up for me. It's a privilege to be able to show up for God's people, no matter how far or how bad they screwed it up. It's a privilege because they're chosen. We're chosen. Paul was chosen. That calling, isn't that part of the manifestation? God didn't call junk. God didn't make a mistake. He didn't go, oh man, I called Brian. Crap. I didn't mean to. Oh, well, here we are. No, it was a purposeful call. And he had plans for us. God already had plans for Paul. Here, he already forgave Paul. He chose Paul, called Paul, and had vision for Paul, because he said he was going to speak the word amongst the Gentiles, the kings, and the God had vision for him before he and the believers had vision for himself. And God has vision for us before we had vision for ourselves. God didn't call a mistake. You're not a mistake. You know, one of the biggest things that we see in the world today, it's, you know, identity issues. People believe, and this for me, it breaks my heart, that people believe that they're in the wrong body, that they are not who they are. They're supposed to be something or someone else. That's pretty scary. It's really scary and it's really sad. God didn't make a mistake when he called you. He didn't make a mistake when he called Paul. In that body, who you are as you are. That's the truth of God's word. And we rise up to believe that. Ephesians chapter 1. That's what I say, right? All right, let's go. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, and it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. In love, in love, in love, in love. God is love. God moves in love. God delivers in love. God is all about love. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We have been chosen the same way Paul has been chosen. We have been called the same way Paul was called. He's made us accepted, and we are accepted in the beloved. That is the reason. That's good enough for me. What is our alternative? What really, what is it that we got to do that's just so much better than being a son of God with all power and reigning in life? What else? You know? I can't think of anything. Philippians chapter 3. Is this stuff making sense? Okay, good. Family. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and it says, and this is Paul, right? So he's a believer. He's went through some stuff. Now there's that whole like changing stuff, right? Reckoning the old man dead. We have a new nature. Now we got to we got to get it together sometimes, you know? But the getting it together is pretty easy when all we need to do is just believe and accept what God has done for us in Christ. We really don't have much to get together except believe. God already knows this is as together as we're going to get. And he called us anyway. How amazing. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. If our past was a not up for discussion by others, then it sure is not up for discussion ourselves. We don't get to, present a case before God about ourselves and how imperfect and all that stuff. We don't get to do that. It's already taken care of. Your past, your reputation, what you did, what you didn't do, it doesn't matter to God, and it doesn't matter. And we need to actively forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things before. We just got to keep pressing towards that mark, because we have a day that's coming and we know what it is. Romans 10. Verses that we know. I'm not reading anything new. Sometimes we just need to read the word and take our time so we don't miss those important things like slaughter. Oh my God, how did I not see that? Oh my God. Romans 10:9. Can someone down here read? Nice and loud. Romans 10:9-10, please.
Romans 10:9-10. With thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Thank you. We get born again by confessing the Savior from sin, not confessing our past. Forgiveness is a done deal for God. We don't have to beg for it. We just have to accept it. That's it. One of the first things that needed to happen in order for us to get born again was God forgiving us. And he had to forgive us on a larger scale than whatever you did wrong. He had to forgive Adam's high treason, and how he caused the fall of man. I'm sure whatever you did, whenever you did it, didn't cause the fall of man. Thank God. The sin nature problem is already taken care of, and that was the biggest forgiveness. So if God can forgive you, then we can forgive. Period. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I love you guys. I really do. I really do love you guys a lot. A lot of your blood, sweat, tears, and prayer went into this. But even greater, Holy Spirit, God's love, Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption went into this too, and went into you guys as well. Philippians chapter 3. So when we go back to chapter 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming back. And the return and the hope of the return of Jesus Christ is not the time to forgive. I hear people laughing, so I guess you guys got to understand what I mean by that. There are times where I'm even guilty of it, where if I had a hard time or I'm having a hard time forgiving someone, I say, well, I'll just wait until Jesus Christ comes back. And then I'll just have the renewed mind and the new body, and it'll be all good. That's not the time for forgiveness, guys. That's not how this works. Forgiveness is for this life. Forgiveness is for the days of our lives, as we heard in Manifestations. Don't cheapen the return. Don't cheapen the hope because you don't want to renew your mind. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to Jesus Christ. That cost them everything. Push yourself. It's okay. You can. There's Christ in you. You have Holy Spirit. You can forgive. You got this. Forgive. Let it go. It's okay. Really. Let it go. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. We're wrapping it up. Everybody all right? Can you hear me? I don't think I have a problem. There's not a problem with not hearing me. That's for sure. We were doing the testing, and then I was like, I actually don't even need the microphone. It's okay. But I do. Acts chapter 1, and then it says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus Christ, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then they ask the wrong question. Totally cool. Do you guys understand? Like, Holy Spirit wasn't even a thing. And their question was, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? How about, what is Holy Spirit? They asked the wrong question. Like, and what do you mean? What do you mean? Do we need bags? Like, what do we need? How do we get this Holy Spirit, right? They asked the wrong question. And they said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And we're pretty utter, right? We are pretty utter. This is awesome, uttermost. And then let's go to verse 11. And then So as he's saying this, they, you know, there was a cloud, receives them out of their sight. And in verse 11, it says, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." There you have it. The promise of the Father and the hope. Bam, bam. Amazing. Just the 1-2 punch. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So the way we get born again is confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. The day of Pentecost was the marking of the simplicity of that truth, that reality. It's just that simple. God loves us by his great love, his riches in mercy. It's amazing. And then it says, verse 38 in chapter 2, "Then Peter said unto them," and he's like blurting this out to the people that were around, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off." And we're pretty afar off. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Right? So the day of Pentecost was a new beginning for mankind and God. The day that we got born again was a new beginning for us and God. God took care of the sin problem so regular, imperfect people like us can have fellowship with him and glory in him. God chose us, God called us, and God's vision for us is to be in his family for eternity. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Walk in it. Let's walk in it, man. And before I go, I wanted to read something that really stood out to me and stayed with me since I heard it. I had the privilege of going to Peru a few years ago, and I went with Paola Gonzalez and Phil Gonzalez, and it was awesome. But we had manifestations out there at one of the breakfasts, and this was so striking and this was so impactful that I left the breakfast table, ran to write it down before I could forget it. I'm going to read it in English because it was said in Spanish. "Before the first ray of light from the sun and before the first rock in the foundation of the earth, I have had you, my family, in my heart." I love you guys. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for the privilege of being your kids. Thanks, God, that I had the privilege of sharing your word with my family today. It's a big deal to me, but I could only imagine your heart and what a big deal it is for you that we believe that we have your spirit, that we can manifest power and we can walk like Christ in this earth, that we could bring deliverance to others. I pray, Father, that you help us in those areas in our lives where we need help, and help us to get out of our own way so that we can just glorify you and do your will. God, help us so that we can just love people. Help us to have boldness to speak your word to people. And most of all, Father, that like we heard in manifestations, that we could be like kids at play. God, thank you so much that the words that you say to us, they don't fall on deaf ears. We believe, we trust you. And you know that we're imperfect. And I'm just so thankful that that's how you handle us, that that's how you care for us, and that's how you deal with us, with great love and care and forgiveness. Thank you for everyone here, for a great, awesome day. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Respect. I like that. That was just great, Anita. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. You know, the manifestations, we could have just gone home. Now we hear that great teaching. I wanted to, all of us got born again at one time or we wouldn't be here. And if you're not born again yet, you probably will be by the end of the day. So I wanted to have Brian play this song. It's a story basically about Brian's life, but I think it just fits with all of us. You know, there was a day, there was a time, there was an hour, there was a moment when God brought us to that place where we believed him. And so we did a bunch of recordings last fall, and eventually they'll get to you. But this is just one of my favorite songs. So go ahead. It's called On My Way.
School, going to college now. I was gonna learn everything that I could and put my mind to the plow. I was on my way, on my way. When I got to college, I was not satisfied. My grades are high, the folks are fine, but something wasn't missing, and so I did decide to be on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. When I got home, I started a job for a little bit of pay. I said, man, this is great, this is just what I wanted, career is the way. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, having a career was nice, but it was lacking some sensation. My pockets were full, but my heart was still empty, so I handed in my resignation. And I went on my way, on my way. So I picked up my guitar and I just joined a band. We practiced and we played and soon we were amazed. People had us in demand and we were on our way, on our way. Oh yeah. Well, the band was really moving. We were gonna go all the way. But I still wasn't satisfied. I said, you know I love you guys, but I simply cannot stay. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, all this time I had a buddy, and he would speak the Bible to me. He said, I'll give you a little tip, just come with me to fellowship. And I decided to go and see. And I went on my way, on my way. Oh yeah. Well, something in my heart started melting. The Bible made sense that day. I was always lost and I was always searching, but I found out Jesus Christ is the way. Yeah, he's the way, the only way. Oh yeah. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Life might be such a challenging ride, but someday I'll be in heaven. seated by my Father's side. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. Life might be such a challenging ride, but someday we'll all be in heaven, seated by our Father's side. And we're on our way, on our way. Yes, we're on our way, on our way. At last.
Amen.
Isn't that a great song?